You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to the Leadership Special, a show which features conversations with Christians in leadership about the topics that really matter. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and I've had the privilege of interviewing Christian leaders on over 1,000 shows, and so hope you'll enjoy this next conversation and will join us again next week.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
Welcome to the show that aims to support and encourage Christians who lead. You will have come across the saying that not all readers are leaders, but all leaders are readers. A quote attributed to US President Harry S. Truman. Maybe you can chart your journey with God or as a leader by significant books. I know I can. Well, this week I'm joined by Tim Thornborough of the Good Book Company. He founded the publishing house in 1991 and now serves as Chair of Trustees and Rights Marketing and Development Manager. We're going to talk about some of the books that have shaped his leadership journey. Rather like Desert Island Discs does the same with music. We have much less time than the Radio 4 broadcast, so Tim has selected three books for us. And I hope you find this as a fun way of looking at leadership, as well as noting books you too might want to read. So welcome, Tim. Good to have you on the show.
Hey, Andy. Great to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Perhaps a short biography, just to give you some context ahead of your choices. What do you say when people ask you about your career?
I say that I looked up the word career in the dictionary the other day, and it says career, a head verb, a headlong rush normally ending in disaster. and that kind of sums up where I've come from, I've got here. I was grew up in the era of the moonshot, science obsessed as a child, all doing science A-levels, and then got converted through a youth work at a church in Southport where I grew up. And suddenly this whole other world with bigger questions than the questions of science opened up to me. And much to my parents' disgust, I decided to switch from wanting to study medicine to study philosophy and theology at university. Actually, I think the world has been saved. I would have been an appalling doctor. A slightly less bad theologian, I hope. From there, what did I do? I had a very brief time as a professional dancer. That's for another interview. And then trained in publishing, using part of my science background in a technical scientific publishing company, trained as a journalist, spent 10, 12 years working as a journalist, initially in the UK and then in the Middle East, reporting on sort of Middle East news and affairs. And then I found myself in this position where I was kind of freelancing, doing a bit of publishing, helping out with this, that, and the other. And then quite providentially, really, the idea for the notion of the Good Book Company, what is now the Good Book Company, sort of landed on my desk in a curious turn of events. And really, that's what I've been working at ever since. Good Book Company started in my front room in about 1990 or 91. And we're now based in Epsom. By some measures, we're the largest UK Christian publisher. Office in America, we employ around 60 people, and very exciting times as we have transitioned September last year from a limited company to becoming an employee-owned trust. We're kind of like the John Lewis of Christian publishing.
Well, Tim, that doesn't sound like you careering towards disaster at all. So well done. Congratulations. Maybe we could start then with your first book.
So first book is one that I think a lot of people in business or leadership will be very familiar with. It's Good to Great by James Collins. And it starts with a very simple kind of premise. And I think very importantly, an image or an idea that is very easy to grasp onto. And it's this idea of the hedgehog. Actually, if you come to the Good Book Company offices, you can see all around the building, we've got all kinds of hedgehogs around. And it's to remind us what our hedgehog is. The idea in the book is this. The hedgehog, you know, it's not a fighter. It's not really the kind of survivor, but it has one thing that it does that makes it invulnerable when it's under attack. And of course, that thing is it curls up in a ball, spikes pointing outwards, and anybody trying to get it or go for it fails because it has the perfect defense mechanism. And the way that Collins sort of plays this metaphor out in the book is to look at all kinds of case histories of companies that have not just survived difficult times, but have actually thrived during difficult times. And, you know, he asked the question, what is the thing about this company which enables it to be like that? And, you know, the answers are in some ways quite kind of predictable. You know, they're about simplicity, about having a clear vision, about significantly a commitment to quality in what they do. And I think it's as a management team at the time when we first read it, I think probably around, you know, 2005, it was a really good moment for us. Prior to that, we'd been doing all kinds of things. You know, we were running conferences, we were running distance learning theology course, training courses. I was doing Sunday school training mornings, a residential for youth workers. And I think where we got to as a management team was we need to hone down and do the one thing that we think we are uniquely placed to do, the one thing that we are best placed and equipped to do. And the other things which we had started, which were you know, vital and important and necessary, we had to work out ways that they could be transferred elsewhere or done in a different kind of way. So it's a very important book for us as a company because we worked out that actually publishing was what we were uniquely gifted at, and therefore that's the thing we should focus exclusively on and learn how to do it better, learn how to develop titles and processes and ways of being that really serve the publishing end. And it led to our, you know, to a mission, a kind of mission statement. We call it the hedgehog, which is that we wanted to be the most respected publisher of biblical, accessible and relevant books, Bible teaching materials in the world. And that was a sort of vision that we could kind of own at every single level of the organization. We wanted the people on the customer service phones to say, I can generate respect for us as an organization and what we're trying to do by the way that I treat customers, how I deal with them. It speaks to the guys in the warehouse who are packing books and sending them out. I want to generate respect for the Good Book Company. I can do that in how carefully and well I package the books that I'm sending out so that they arrive in pristine condition. For editors, for designers, for those of us who work in rights and accountancy and so on in the organization, it's a vision we could all own, and it's what we call our hedgehog, and it's what we get people in a sort of slightly sort of, you know, North Korean dictatorship kind of way to learn off by heart as soon as they join the organization, and we spend time explaining why this is our vision and how it can impact their day-to-day job.
Excellent, Tim. Thank you. And when I started the Leadership Show around 2006, a number of guests would mention that particular book as one of their favourites. Mm. So that's terrific. Your second book, Tim?
Thank you, Andy. It's one people may not have heard of. We tried to have a regular away day for senior leadership team. We usually focus it around a book. 3-4 years ago, when we were getting to a size of organisation and a complexity of organisation that starts to make decisions far more complicated, because you're juggling so many variables. You know, we have a sub office in America, in Charlotte. I have about a dozen employees in the US now, and many sort of working parts. I found this book called The Three Box Solution by Vijay Govindrajan. He's a business professor at one of the big Ivy League schools in America. Actually, with a lot of business books, it's like a lot of self-help books, actually, Andy. There's a saying in publishing, you know, most books could and should be blog posts. Most blog posts should be tweets. The idea being that you can summarize the essential content of a lot of books in a very short space of time. The value of reading the whole book is that it just gives you time to sit in the ideas, think them through properly, and have some space to reflect on how they apply to your organization. So three box solution is he says, basically, you're not managing one business, you're managing three businesses. There is the business you were, all the history that you have, the processes that you have inherited, in the case of publishing, products and books that people remember are part of your makeup. You know, they're the books that they remember you for. And of course, the people. You know, I'm reaching the stage of life where I'm thinking towards what does it look like to be non-operational in the business and just to be there as chair of trustees or an advisor, but taking no sort of active part in the running of the organization. Businesses, organizations have people with a lot of experience, a lot of history in the business, but they are part of the business that was. And then you're also managing the business of today. That's about a lot of questions about, you know, managing money, making decisions about what to publish, making decisions about how to get the best out of people in the organization, making decisions about shuffling seats around and so on, operational concerns. And then the third box is the business of the future. And in publishing, I think especially, publishing is a very technology-related organization. And a lot of people in publishing at the moment are having to think very hard about the impact of AI and what the future of their business looks like and in what way it will change the game. You know, of course, famously, publishing the movable type, William Caxton and all those people who created printing in the first place. It was part of a technological revolution that actually partly drove the Reformation. And similarly, I, you know, in my days of journalism, it was in the days when computer typography was being developed. Lots of arguments with the way it had always been done on Fleet Street. Rupert Murdoch famously moving his newspapers out of Fleet Street and fighting the unions who were resistant to technological change. And now we're in another era of significant technological change. So three-box solution is just saying you're managing these three separate kinds of business, actually. Often questions you're faced with in management or leadership are very confused between those three different areas of operation. And just recognizing that you can and should treat these in three boxes was a really kind of revolutionary idea, a really helpful idea just for working out how you make decisions that are productive and efficient. You've got to selectively forget your history. That's box one. You've got to selectively abandon the past. You've got to manage the present. You know, that's your operations day to day. But you've also got to be thinking about how you create the future and what the future looks like in terms of personnel, products, processes and management structures. And really, the move for the Good Book Company from limited company to employee-owned trust was all about really understanding that third box. You know, what is the future of this organization? How do you pass on an organization that is privately owned? Where, you know, I've seen so many Christian organizations that have really made a mess of this transition, generational change transition. Churches as well, you know, ministers who kind of much loved ministers who kind of refused to leave and ended up dying in the pulpit, leaving, you know, a church sort of hampered and compromised for years following, simply because of the question of transition wasn't addressed early enough and in sensible ways. And it's the same with Christian organizations. You know, people, particularly entrepreneurs, actually want to hang on to their thing in a way that is unreasonable and unhelpful. And I think very early on, I think if the first principle of management is you've got to own the organization, own your responsibility, grapple with things as they really are, and you know, take responsibility for what happens in the organization. I think that the first rule of Christian management is management of a Christian organization is you don't own the organization. You know, the Good Book Company, I'm always saying it was never mine. It always, only, and ever belonged to Jesus for the blessing of his people. And therefore, kind of letting it go wasn't a big emotional issue because it never really belonged to me.
Well, Tim, it's fascinating to get your selections. You're listening to The Leadership Show with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Tim Thornborough, the founder of The Good Book Company. We've looked first at Good to Great, his first choice. His second book is The Three-Box Solution. And now on to the third, Tim.
Well, surprise, surprise. I've got several more. I've got a sub-list. I like actually to listen to management books as audio books. There are several that I just listen. You've got to keep one on the go, like Christian books. I think, you know, it's good to keep a Christian book on the go, even if you're not, you know, if you're consuming it sort of periodically, just to keep these things ticking away in the back of your mind. But I want to highlight the third one. It's called Faithful Leaders and the Things That Matter Most. And it's by Rico Tice. And it's published by the Good Book Company. Rico, an evangelist, worked from All Souls Langham Place for many years. And during this whole season where we have been bombarded with the failures of Christian leaders in the evangelical church, Rico reflected quite strongly on what it means to be a faithful leader and what it is that truly matters. And of course, this comes back to not really technical management stuff or even, you know, business practices, you know, the difference, you know, a manager and a leader and a visionary entrepreneur or whatever. But it comes back to character. You know, how do we define success? Drive, of course, in most business books is that success is defined by profit, the bottom line. Success in Christian terms and thinking isn't defined by those things. It's defined by faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. And he highlights many, you know, important qualities in this book about not just about leading, how do I lead, but how do you lead yourself in the first instance? And how do you, you know, your purpose as a Christian leader in a church is to serve the church. It's not to build your brand. It's not to big yourself up. It's to serve God's people in the local church. And I think I was reading that at the same time as another management book Terry Leahy, who was head of Sir Terry Leahy now, head of Tesco for many years, from Liverpool, a very strong kind of Catholic family he grew up in. But he wrote a book called Management in 10 Words. And it's a very unusual book, but it covers many of the same things that Rico does in his book, which is more specifically for Christian leaders. You know, he talks about, you know, what is management? It's about truth, first and foremost, you know, truth to face the realities of what's actually going on. I have three daughters working in very different kinds of industries, one in advertising, one in manufacturing. She's an industrial chemist, the other in a social care work. And of course, I'm on the receiving end of their woes about their working life. And it astonishes me how badly run so many organizations really are. This first chapter in Terry Leahy's book about truth, just you've got to deal with the actual problems that are really there in front of you. And it just seems to me that so many people just stick their head in the sand and just wash things open and refuse to grasp and grapple with the realities of what's actually happening in their businesses. But, you know, again, Terry Leahy's book, he talks about truth and courage and values and loyalty, and they are personal qualities. His bottom line in the book is the value your company creates is not found on the balance sheet necessarily. It's about the quality and character of the organization, which flows out of the quality, character, and commitment of the leader. So, sorry, it's a third choice, but it's a kind of combination of the two. Terry Leahy, Management in 10 Words, looking at it more from perhaps a secular view, but it's infused with Christian values from his Catholic background, and very more specifically, faithful leaders and the things that matter most.
So, Tim, that's three books. That's Good to Great, The Three-Box Solution, and Faithful Leaders. And just for fun, you've got a couple more just to add in, just to mention.
A recent book I've got hold of that I think is going to be very important for us going forward, the Good Book Company, is called Scaling Up. Scaling Up's a really good workbook, just thinking about how you take a smaller business, an SME, and turn it into something much bigger. And it's got lots of fascinating roadmaps in it. Another book in a similar vein is called Get a Grip. And I've just got a hold of on audio to listen to in the car, The Great Game of Business, which I think I'm going to, it brings sort of game theory into the business arena. Last book's an interesting choice. It's a book by quite a famous person. It's The Art of the Deal by Donald Trump. I decided to take a look at this just to try and get an insight into the mind of the man. And I actually used some quotes from it in a training session I was doing for some Christian people working in sales. And I pulled up four quite sort of eye-opening quotes from it. And we started a discussion about which of these are truly Christian ways to approach the sales process. And sparks flew, and it was a very interesting time. But if you want to get an insight into that guy, I recommend reading it, or at least the summary of it.
Tim, I imagine it was perhaps agony for you trying to choose those books, because being a book lover as you are. But thank you so much for sharing that, and also a little bit of your leadership journey with the Good Book Company. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Andy.
It's great to chat with Tim Thornborough of the Good Book Company. Those were his selections in a sort of desert island style selection, which tells you a little bit about his leadership development. So the books, again, if you're looking for a pen or some paper, Good to Great by James Collins, published by Random House. The Three-Box Solution by VJ Govindarajan, Govindarajan, Harvard Business Review Press. Faithful Leaders by Rico Tice, published by the Good Book Company. Management in 10 Words by Terry Leahy, that's L-E-A-H-Y, published by Random House. Those were the main books he mentioned, the three, and then the overlap with Terry Leahy. And then additionally, and no details of these, but Scaling Up by Vernie Harnish, published by Gazelles, that's Harnish, H-A-R-N-I-S-H. Get a Grip by Daniel Petrykus, P-O-T-R-Y-K-U-S, which is independently published. The Great Game of Business, authors Stack and Burlingham, by Profile Books. And The Art of the Deal by Donald Trump, published by Random House. So if you believe that leaders are readers, then there's some material for you to get your teeth into. Why not start particularly with the ones that Tim has selected? Good to Great by James Collins, The Three-Box Solution, and Faithful Leaders by Rico Tice. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for your company. Looking forward to you joining us again next week. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.